Coming to you live from the basement of an abandoned training facility where we talk about fighting, training, and events. It's the Fight Mixer Show, where you can hear about all the local and world combat sports happenings. Get ready. It's time to gear up and square up because we're going live on the Fight Mixer Show.
Welcome, Mixer. We are here finally with ECF President and CEO, the owner of Extreme Fitness, located in Winbrook, New York, a great facility, multiple time amateur MMA champion, BJJ black belt, state champion in wrestling. The list of accolades go on and on. Mr. Christian, the Destroyer of Affairs. What's going on, brother?
What's going on, guys? And thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for coming on the show. So, huge card coming up. ECF, back with a vengeance. June 26th. Congratulations, by the way. You weathered the storm through the pandemic. Coming back to Queens, New York for a huge fight card. Remember to buy the tickets on watchecf.com and order the pay-per-view on Fight Planet TV. Tell us, how's the road been getting ECF back and running this great show out of Queens, New York, and ECF running once again?
To fight forthright. I got scratched. So it feels back, you know, New York State Athletic, ISKA, everything to have a safe for our fighters. 20 fights. Probably end up with about money, but it's amazing. The fan is unbelievable response to our return. The support is absolutely actually doing a show. Because of the amazing amount of fighters and support that we're getting and everybody that wants to get on the card. So it's going to be a great summer. It's going to be awesome.
Awesome. And this show is again taking place June 26th. There's some trouble hearing. What was that? I'm sorry.
The audio is horrible.
Yeah, we're having a little bit of audio difficulties on your end. We're going to talk to the producer, Matt, about that. Matt, can we?
Nothing I can do.
Perfect. Christian, can you try coming out from a laptop, or are you doing it through your phone, or do you have headphones?
I have it through my phone right now. Hold on one second. Perhaps.
Okay, no, not a problem.
Yeah, it's. I didn't hear anything that was said at all.
I didn't either.
Okay. I hope I'm not the only one. But I was just sitting here going like, okay, well, I'm not really sure.
Yeah. So essentially, you know, June 26th, big event, Queens, New York, and Zura nightclub. It's going to be taking place. It's going to be live on Fight Planet TV, where you can order the pay-per-view. I believe the price is going to be $15.99. You can also buy tickets on watchecf.com, where tickets are still on sale. And you gotta buy these tickets quick. You know, tickets sell out pretty fast. They have VIP sitting where you can meet all the fighters. Also, there are standard seating as well available. And meet the ring guard girls, meet the fighters, meet Kristen. You know, it's a great time. And what I love most about the ECF, especially as a commentator, you know, the vibe. You know, the vibe when you walk into the arena, when you actually sit down and watch an ECF event, it's for everybody. Where, you know, MMA is kind of like tailor-made for one demographic, the hardcore, diehard MMA fan. But, Christian, you're able to build the ECF where anybody can walk in and just, you know, even if they're not the most, you know, hardcore diehard MMA fan, They can walk in and have a good time, and you're all about presentation. So what is the process of building ECF up to where?
It's more than just watching the fights. It's definitely an experience, you know. I try to put that pageantry. I try to make it similar to a UFC, Bellator, WWE type event. I try to put a great platform on for the guys to and the girls to for all the athletes to really push forward and give it their best fight possible. Really impress the fans. I want the fans to be blown away at all times. This is the future. This is the talent that in 2 or 3 years they're going to see on pay-per-view in the UFC or Bellator. So to catch these people on their rise, you know, is really amazing, and really watch them grow through their career. You know, it's been amazing for me to watch as a promoter. So I'm sure for the fans, it's been an amazing experience. So we've had about 30, a little bit more than 30 fighters go from ECF to Bellator, and a sprinkle of a few have gone into the UFC. But all of them have gone into amazing pro promotions throughout the world. Even one, we have two fighters that went to one out in Asia. So it's just great to have a platform that could really send people to the next level for the serious fighters who are really thinking about making this a real career. This is definitely their step there.
Awesome. And how are you able to identify the talent? Because you go into an ECF event, every fighter brings something, whether from skill, from talent, from, you know, from their gym that they come from, you know, the ability to sell tickets and having this entertaining persona. Like, how are you able to identify talent? Like, that guy should be on my card. That guy or girl should be on my fight card. What do you look for in talent?
Very obvious, but sometimes my job is to develop these fighters and to find the diamonds in the rough and see something special in them. And to give them the right pointers, you know, work with the coaches and let them know what they need to make it to a superstar level. I try to explain to a lot of people, the fight game is more than just being a great fighter. You know, it truly is. And a lot of people need to understand that. They need to be able to connect with fans. They need to be able to give good interviews. They need to be able to pack seats. They need to be able to create a buzz that makes people want to watch them. And I really try to help. You know, I grew up fighting and competing myself. You know, my stepfather was a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. My father was a boxer. So I grew up in gym my whole life. I competed at a very young age all throughout my adulthood until my 30s. And, you know, it's a lot more than just being an amazing fighter. There's a lot of amazing fighters out there who could probably knock out, you know, this, that, and the other, but unfortunately they don't get to that level that they should be on because they're missing some recipe. So I try to create the platform. I try to highlight the fighters and coaches, and I try to help them and give them the criticism or you know, just letting them know what they need if they truly want to make it to that level and be a superstar. You know, I keep it very real with people, you know? So that's what I pride myself on.
Right. And as a business owner, you, as a fight promoter, you're also a business owner as well, where you run your gym and you're actually developing talent and helping fighters reach to where they want to go. And this is where Gabe can relate to this guy right here. He also runs a gym out of California. Yeah. Developing a business, like a gym, that can survive and weather any type of storm, even a pandemic. You know, I just want to get to not just being a promoter, but also a businessman and business owner. And maybe Gabe, you and Gabe can talk about how are we able to develop this gym and build it up with, you know, can weather any storm.
Yeah. I mean, my promotion was on hold for the last year and a half. And during the pandemic, you know, we completely shut down for 2 months. But you know what? I literally moved my gym into my parking lot. I took all the bags that were parked, I put them outside, and I started giving outdoor classes for the whole neighborhood. I was promoting it. I was doing online classes as well for those still fearful of being in groups and even being in an outdoor setting. So I gave free online training throughout the entire pandemic. I didn't charge anybody online training for those people that were stuck in their house. And for those who were tired of being cooped up, we got it in the parking lot, man. I trained, I taught a class every day, and the parking lot started with three people. And then eventually it was packed out where there wasn't enough room, there wasn't enough bags for the people there. So you got to get creative during these times. You can't be afraid to think outside the box. You can't be afraid to downsize. You know, you can't be afraid to reach out to your local community and just ask for help, you know. You know, I reached out to the mayor of my town. We got a ribbon cutting coming up. I've been featured in the local newspaper a few times for different things I've done for the community. You know, it's all about giving back. You know, a community knows if you're just there to make money or if you're actually a part of the community trying to help the town that you're in. So I always try to help any way possible to my area of Lynbrook or the five surrounding, anything that I can do to help out anybody in New York. You know, I've got fighters that travel and train with me for free because they can't afford to train anywhere else. A lot of people lost their gyms. And, you know, what we do is an outlet for a lot of people. You know, an outlet, it's a way to relieve stress. It's a way to escape, you know, certain realities. And you know, you got to be there. You got to be there to help people out. You know, you got to give them that outlet. You got to give them something to hard for, especially this day and age. There's so much negativity and so much going on in the world that the happiest time I have is when I'm on the floor training, whether it's jiu-jitsu or Muay Thai. You know, I get lost in my training. I have fun. I teach. And once that's all done, you know, then the everyday problems come back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And Gabe, you can pretty much relate on this this issue, considering that you were also a gym owner too, and you had to keep your gym afloat. Right, Gabe?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you definitely have to, like, think outside the box, and you have to change things around and do things that, you know, like, for instance, we had to paper over our windows, and we were holding classes, like, in almost like a speakeasy where you had to tell people in advance that you're coming. And then we were following the protocols of COVID, where, you know, checking temperatures, and you had to change clothes out, and class were limited to 45 minutes instead of an hour. And but I mean, it's, you know, it was a difficult time, but the strong survived. And you know, you either overcome it or you cease to exist. And there are a lot of gyms that decided to close up shop, and I've lost a lot of friends lost gyms, and a lot of businesses. And I'm thankful that Kaiju was able to stay afloat, and it sounds like Christian's gym was as well. So it's you know, says a lot about
that, brother. Really sad to hear about people's gyms closing down. Really upsets me.
Yeah. And do you believe, you guys, that, and Christian, especially you as a business owner, and Gabe too, like, do you believe that since the pandemic, 60% of businesses that closed are closed permanently? Like, and can you just see the forecast? Like, can you forecast what was going to happen in the future and how you're going to be able to rebuild? Will it ever get back to normal? Like, what's your focus on, and what do you think the future holds for you guys?
Honestly, you know, the martial arts community, the MMA community, we're a different breed, man. You know, we, you know, I had people that were ready to train, you know, mid-pandemic. I had to hold off. I had to let them know that we had to wait for the protocol set and so on. Who knows what the future holds? I think things are starting to turn around. I truly hope that within a year or two, a horrible thing of our past, but you know, I really don't know. It's really sad. 60% of them are not going to reopen. I have friends who have lost their business. And, it truly is. You know, hopefully on the upswing, things are opening back up. The vaccine is out. People are getting vaccinated, and as long as cases keep going down, then everything should be going back up. So let's just pray for the best and stay positive. You know?
And getting back to you and your history with mixed martial arts, how did you get involved with mixed martial arts? I know your stepfather was a boxer, and did he get you into it, or just following his path?
Dad's a jiu-jitsu black belt. He's from black belt, Paulo Cuevas, and I've been around the fight game my whole life. My father was in and out of boxing gym 4 or 5 years old. My stepfather had a gym since I was about 13. And, you know, it came natural. I wrestled in high school. I wrestled in college. It came naturally. I love the game. I've always been in the game since its first came out. Since it was first in New York, I've been involved, young kid. So, you know, it was just something that came natural to me. I gravitated towards it. I studied exercise nutrition in college. I was a personal trainer in Manhattan. training Muay Thai back in 1999 when no one really knew what the hell Muay Thai was then. You know, so it was interesting for me. I was involved in the 90s, but it was not popular at all. And then I watched it literally grow animal that it is today. And, you know, I kicked myself in the butt for not taking it more seriously when I was a kid. But it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't popular. It wasn't like today where there's an academy in every neighborhood. You know, we had Henzo's, and that was it. It was, you know, it was more of an underground thing than it was a mainstream thing. And now it's just exploded where, you know, literally, you know, even post pandemic, there's still, I can't even count any gyms. Just working with my promotion alone, you know, I work with hundreds of gyms, you know, so it's just sad to see some of them down. But I truly believe that the real martial artists and everybody who's a lifer and who's really about this life, they're going to find a way to come back probably by next year. A lot of people will reopen once things calm down a bit. You know, I hope and pray because I don't want to see anybody stay out of business. I don't look at it as competition. Family and got to eat, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And just going back on to June 26th card, what are the fights we can look forward to? Do we have the card ironed out or?
You know what? I don't have the card on me. I'm actually at my mother's house. It was a beautiful day. She barbecued. I was here with my family hanging out. I'm here in the den. You can take a look around. All my family pictures here. There are so many action-packed fights on the card. There's so many talented fighters. Like I said, I'm working about 20 fights that are cooking right now. I might even do a grappling opener where we do four fights to open up, just grappling, four or five fights earlier in the afternoon. And, you know, I love martial arts. I've been doing this my whole life, so I look forward to seeing all the fights. It's been a year and a half that I haven't seen any live event, so I'm going to sit back, relax, and enjoy every fight that I put together. And I'm going to relax with my fans. I think it's going to be a great time. Like I said, so much support, so much momentum behind this show that we're doing a show 1 month later, July 31st, at Amazura Nightclub in Queens, New York, the event center. They hold some pro wrestling there. They also hold the Golden Gloves there. Beautiful space. Holds 3,500 people. We're going to be under some restrictions for the June 26th show because New York officially doesn't open up fully until July 1st. We are going to have some restrictions, but we're going to have everybody spaced out, and it's going to be a safe event. We're actually going to set up a testing booth outside for those who do not have a recent COVID test done. We're going to offer testing outside so everyone can feel safe. They can get their COVID test, get their answer in the next minutes. Everyone can feel comfortable being inside. So we're going through a lot. We're jumping through a lot of hoops, cutting through a lot of red tape, but we're making it happen, baby. And it's going to be an action-packed, epic event. I guarantee you that.
Awesome. And somebody actually had a question for you. How do you land on the ECF's radar?
As a fighter?
As a fighter.
I get a lot of coaches, and when I first started out, I would literally visit every gym. I would show up to about 3 to 10 gyms a week. I would bring my bag, no bullshit. I would bring my training bag. This is fresh off me being a competitive athlete. I had a pretty bad car accident. It took me a few years of recovery, but I would bring my gym bag with me, and I would spar with these guys. And I would just, you know, put on my gear, go toe to toe, see who had talent, you know, watch the guys get in there, watch them mix it up with them. And that's how I originally used to talent scout, you know, and get my name and get their names out there. And then once ECF came, you know, because honestly, you know, true story, I was in Iceland on vacation and I'm at the bar and people are screaming ECF, ECF. Blew my mind in Iceland, you know. So, you know, it really has traveled. You know, we have quite a following, and so these days, a lot of the athletes just send in their stuff to me. The coaches send in their stuff to me. If I find anybody on social media, if anybody gives me a hot tip about a fighter, I do have talent scouts that work for me that go to a lot of events and not only scout on the internet, but scout live. So there's a lot of different ways that I get my guys, my athletes, I should say, that participate.
Awesome. Very cool. You got a question?
So you said that you would go and you would spar with the guys.
Yeah.
Were you kind of like, you're the gauging point? Like if you can beat me, then you're probably ready for the show, or you can give me a little bit of a hard time. Let's get going.
Fighter coming up, man. So if they could hang with me, then they would be good on the show. But and they could. It's important to know that they can take a shot. So I like to see the way a person responds to getting a good shot. If they respond, you know, with that weird reaction, they get flinchy. Or all of a sudden they're not fighting the same way. That's kind of a telltale sign for me that they might not be ready for this level of an event. But if I crack them with a good shot or land a nice leg kick on them, and they give me that look like, and then they give it back, you know, and that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that person who can not only crack, but crack and crack back.
I wish Dana White took that same philosophy. He got in there and.
Guys do.
I mean, I think all the promoters should make it a shot at it. I think Scott Coker, the guy from One. I mean,
that was it. Yep.
Lex McMahon did it.
I mean, yeah, right. Like, well, but got to see on the level. Let's see. I personally want to see Dana White, Francis Ngannou. One round, 1 2-minute round.
That'd be cool.
I want to watch it. I want to see what happens.
Yeah, and Dana's a big guy, man, and he's got some boxing under his belt.
Does he know? Does he know? I mean,
you put him in there with the hardest hitting guy in the sport, so obviously you're not a fan, I guess.
No. I'm just saying. I want excitement. Let's be honest. I want excitement. Like. That's a fight that would be exciting. I'd be interested in that, you know?
Man, I think Francis Ngannou would know better than to crack him, though, if he ever wanted to work again. You know what I mean?
Fuck that, man. Nah, it's your boss. You only get one shot at that. One shot.
One of the best fights I've ever seen. This was a charity event. It was a contest at Crunch Fitness when I used to work there back in 1999. They did a contest where a person gets trained and their boss gets trained. It was called Fight Your Boss. And they get 2 months of training and they literally get to fight their boss in an exhibition. Whoa. Let me tell you. The cross-gender man, too. Some of these people were cracking their boss upside the head. I was really wondering if they had a job on.
Well, I mean, I think you make the decision. You make a decision at that point. Do I really need this job?
Yeah.
Not that much.
I am so thankful that I spar you to get the. I am like literally so thankful I never had to spar you to get the commentating gig because I wouldn't be alive doing this interview. So like,
You know what? As a matter of fact, from now on, if I have to hire an instructor, they have to be able to hang with me. That's the new rule.
Started a trend now. Look at what I did.
I like it.
And it just goes to you being a competitor your entire life because, like, I've seen students of yours actually play on the PCF card. There's no padding. You're going to put them in a competitive fight. They're going to be in a competitive fight. Win or lose, you're in the back, not just giving your own students advice, but also giving other folks advice. Like, I see you backstage all the time, even as a promoter, giving these young talent advice on how to further their career. And you're watching these fights, and it's not your job as a promoter. Your job is to put on the show. But you're also so engaged with the talent. All the talent, every single one of them. It just shows, like, and even the level of production all the way down, you can just tell you're an MMA fan. It's very rare for a legit lifelong MMA fan. People jump on the bandwagon to put on these shows because they know there's money in it. But you can tell, top to bottom, left and right, focusing on the little details, that you actually love the sport. And it shows in every single event that you put on, ECF. I have to tell you that.
Thank you very much, man. You know, when I was coming up as a fighter, it was like hit or miss. You know, every third or fourth fight you fought was a sanctioned bout. spots. You fought in basements of Pathmarks. Every now and then you got to fight in a nice venue. You know, I fought for some great promoters in my life, and I fought for some shitty promoters in my life. And there were times where I put up promotions where I was kind of embarrassed to be there. Meanwhile, I sold 50 or 100 tickets, and my friends are like, you know, this is not what we expected, bro. So I made it a point that I did become a promoter. I wanted it to be a show every single fighter would be proud to be a part of. And talking to the fighters backstage, nothing makes me happier. You know, I make it one of the top three promotions in the world. So that's always my goal. Obviously, yes, I look to go throw great shows, acts, fans, entertainment. But you know, being a coach and being a fighter my whole life, you know, a big part of what I do is getting those fighters seen and promoted to the point and confident enough where they believe in themselves enough to fight major conglomerates like the UFC One or Bellator, you know? And obviously my end game, my goal is to have a show to that tier and to that level. It is a hard climb and it's not an easy venture. You know, I've been in it now for 8 years with my own promotion, 10 years helping out with other promotions, and I'm not going anywhere. This is what I do. This is what I love. I'm hooking up some big things. Look at the show on the road and travel, not only up the East Coast, but also throughout the country. So I have that cooking right now, working on some national sponsorship and big things to come. You know, first, as always, my hometown, New York again. Throw some killer shows here, get everyone back ready to fight, back, you know, back into the mix, get the dust off, get the rust off. And for 2022, expect some big things, maybe even towards the second half of 2021. But first up, June 26th, got Back with a Vengeance. And then July 31st, you got the Warriors Challenge. And these are going to be two epic action-packed events. K1, Muay Thai, and MMA. And I'm really excited with the amazing amount of talent. And my apologies right now. Me personally, I'm going to apologize to from out of state, from the country. You know, usually we feature fighters from all over. I've had fighters from Hawaii that come in every year. Fighters from Brazil, Dominican Republic, Canada, you name it. You know, but right now, because of the restrictions, I'm holding the fighters to within a 2 or 3 hour driving distance. And, you know, honestly, guys, it's no offense to anybody. We're just under all this red tape and all this COVID safety here in New York that for my first two shows, that's what I'm doing. So I just wanted to reach out to all the fighters and say, you know, my apologies. We'll be back. Hopefully when this all comes out, in the fall, you know, I'll start taking in fighters from those regions again, from Central and West Coast as well, because I know there's a lot of guys disappointed that I didn't get to put them on the show, but we will be back, you know, bringing everybody in from across the globe again, you know, as soon as things come down, and I look forward to it. I love that. I love having talent from all over the world come in and compete against my New Yorkers.
Awesome. Gabe, you got a question?
Christian, you said that you've done MMA like on an amateur level. Is that right? So is it primarily in New York, or have you expanded out past that, or is that like what made you realize you wanted to become the promoter to actually like look? I've dealt with you said you dealt with good promoters, dealt with bad promoters, but being the actually going in there and competing, was that the reason that you're like, I want to start my own show? I want to do this properly, or what was?
You know what? It was a mixture of fighting on some really amazing promotions and fighting on some promotions that my fans kind of like, my boys kind of ribbed me at, you know? Wow. You know? Like an underground movie. You're fighting in this parking lot. And it was kind of cool, you know, especially at the time. It wasn't as mainstream and popular. It wasn't sanctioned then. So, yeah. I got injured early and it shut my career down pretty early. I had two reconstructive elbow surgeries. You can see this elbow is pretty jacked up. It looks like it's more than an elbow. That's a regular. Is that one over there? I'm gonna hit you with that. So during my recovery, man, I have a good friend, Reckless. Shout out to my buddy Steve. I was pretty depressed going through my rehabilitation, and I had a notebook that I always carry with me, and would jot down things that I was a fighter about things that I like or like, about things that I would do. But during my rehabilitation, I was convinced that I was still gonna come out of this and fight. Telling me that, you know, these were here, probably wouldn't get cleared. I have my back, and I've had two reconstructive elbow surgeries. They want to replace the vertebrae in my neck, spinal. I worked through all that, didn't get the back surgery, but I realized that I wasn't competing, and I still wasn't involved, and just alone wasn't enough. You know, my buddy said, Chris, for this promotion, always talked about wanting to wait, do it now. So we did it. ECF won, baby.
the audio on your end is a little bit rough. I'm sure because you're in the den, because reception's a little bit wacky and it's complete. I got the gist of it, especially dealing with injuries and being a competitor your entire life. I mean, it's, you know, and that's gotta be tough to hang up those gloves. And you know, it just goes back to the mixed martial arts in you, where you are so unselfish and selfish when it comes to mixed martial arts that you pretty much, you knew that journey was ending, and you decide to give, you know, you had the spotlight on you winning multiple titles, and now is the time to shine the spotlight on the future of the sport. And, you know, you had 40 people going to Bellator and all these different promotions and a sprinkle going to the UFC. And, you know, it's a testament to the mixed martial arts that you are. And you are, you know, it just shows. ECF is one of the best promotions on the East Coast. It's one of the best promotions I've ever been a part of and will be a part of. And as a color commentator, I'm honored to be a part of the show. So, you know, we're going to wrap this up like a Christmas present. Obviously, you know, you're with your family, and I appreciate you taking the time at your busy schedule. Come on. So where can we find you? Where can we buy tickets? Where I let you do the show? Shout outs, and the floor is yours, my friend.
All right. Well, you can get your tickets on watchecf.com. You can pre-buy your pre-sale tickets now, and go to fightplanet.tv if you guys want to watch the pay-per-view, because this will be a pay-per-view live stream event. If anybody wants to train, you can check me out in Lynbrook, 147 Sunrise Highway. My Instagram is at ChrisECFMMA, at Extreme Cage Fighting, and at ECFMMA Gym. And look forward to being back on the show. We could do a post-show interview after the event and hype up the next show, which will just be a month later. Hopefully we'll have some better audio on my end. My apologies for that.
That's okay.
It's sounding good now.
Yeah, this is actually the best audio of the entire show right now.
I got to scream right into you here then with my face right in the camera. I just want to shout out Aquabag. Thank you very much for all your support, even throughout the pandemic. They were a great sponsor, awesome people. And all the people who have been by me from the beginning. You know, Tim from Spit the Truth Clothing. Shout out to Tim. And shout out to my crew, Rivera, my COO, Kristen. Giordano, my buddy Anthony Giordano, and all the people who have supported me from day one, my family, they have a big part of this, helping out always, you know, and everybody who's never given up and who's always believed in me, because I've had quite the crazy life and quite the crazy ride, but it feels good to be where I'm at and to be helping others and to putting on some great events. And believe me, we're going to have many to come, and they're just going to get better.
Absolutely, brother. And audio problems are not, definitely, I can't wait to check out ECF, and especially being a commentator. The fans, buy tickets on watchecf.com for both June and July. Also, buy the pay-per-view on Fight Planet TV. And Christian, it's an honor to have you on. It's an honor to call you a friend.
A little drop the mic moment. Wrestlers out there, pro wrestlers,
I'm thinking about starting my own pro wrestling promotion.
Oh, big news to come. Oh, don't let the cat out of the bag yet. That comes for another show.
I got things cooking. All right.
Christian, you're the man.
Promotion. Thank you very much for having me. Watch ECF.com, June 26th, epic event. We're back, baby, and we're back with event.
Awesome, brother. Can't wait to get you back on the show next month. Christian, thank you so much for coming on, brother. I appreciate it.
I'll talk to you guys soon. Bastard!
Bastard! Somebody says you're going to be my fucking nuts! Blood bastard!
That's what we need, Jim.
Yeah. All right.
Let's go, man. I'm so hyped right now. I'm so hyped.
I think you may need to just go out there with the camera.
Jake, go out with the camera right now. Sir.
All right.
That was amazing.
Good stuff. How's it going?
Gabe has a special class going on, a special private seminar going on. So we get to hear.
That's why I'm at the gym right now. I usually don't shoot from the gym, but today's a special event just for our listeners. With Christian's audio and the screaming in my gym, it is a perfect day.
You know what? Like, both of the badass gym owners of the world just have audio issues. It happens. You know, these guys are busy. These guys are doing their thing, making the world a better place by being gym owners, by being promoters, by training the next generation of the sport. You got to have a little bit of audio problems. And Christian is a great guy. You know, commenting for ECF and being on Fight Planet. Also, he had an event on Fight TV, which was very successful. I mean, he's very passionate about the sport. You can just tell. And stepdad too. I had conversations with him. He's a great guy. So he comes from good stock, and you know, he's a great individual and a great a great guy. I can't say enough good things about him. Obviously,
I know.
And you can watch ECF on watchecf.com, buy tickets, and also you can order the pay-per-view on Fight Planet TV for June 26th and in July as well, back-to-back events. MMA is back in fucking New York. I can't wait. And Gabe, you also have a little gym going on, and maybe we can blast up that advertisement, because the show, Fight Mixer, and the screaming that you hear right now, that beautiful screaming of hard work going on, it's coming from...
Man, look at that.
Oh my God, look at that.
Looks good.
Looks
good. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, I the gym being back and all the gyms being back, talking to Christian about that. Those of us that do this business are fortunate that this is what we get to do for a living. And the fact that we have the ability to do it once again is even that much better. So
yeah, you guys have the best job in the world. I mean, you guys get to do what you
love. And then don't forget the ever popular There we go. Yeah, look at that.
Sure, buy some drink protein. If you want to get jacked like Gabe, okay? If you want to be able to have tiger blood, go and do your rolling right game. Get some drink of protein. Go on the website, buy some.
As a matter of fact, I was hiking with my dogs for like 3 hours earlier today. I was exhausted when I came to the gym. I'm like, oh, I don't have coffee here. Oh, what do I have?
Drink a protein.
Well, if you don't mind if I do. And so I popped one in a little bottle, and I'm good to go. Good solid stuff.
And then you want to sculpt your head on the mountain after you drink some drink of protein, but the mountain wasn't hard enough. Is that correct?
I probably won't sleep tonight. I'm probably going to
wire for sound, baby. It's okay. It's all good.
It's good stuff.
All right. So before we wrap up the show, thank you, Christian, for coming on the show, running ECF. Obviously, June and July, we're going to be promoting that event. And also, you can use the promo code FightMixer when you buy tickets. Remember, June 26th, ECF, back with vengeance. Buy it on Fight Planet TV or order tickets, buy tickets, Queens, New York, watch ECF.com. Gabe, final thoughts, final words, sir.
I'm just thankful to be here. It feels like it's been a while since we've been on the show. So now it feels good to be back. But yeah. So, like, do we have a little hiatus? Was there like
I think it was a week and a half instead of a week because we moved.
Yeah, it felt like I was missing a part of my normal routine. It felt weird, but it's good to be back.
Matt, any final thoughts from the producer, the master producer himself, who has a show coming up after this, where you can watch Bare Knuckles Most Wanted, one of my favorite shows ever on Amazon, which we're number 10, by the way. Can't you know, dust your shoulder off, Gabe and Matt, because we are now number 10, top 10.
I'm not happy being 10. I want to be 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and then the final number one. And I want to like to stay at number one for as long as possible.
As long as we're being the New York Jets, I must be celibate because I don't give a shit.
Yeah, for the New York Jets.
We're beating the Avalanche now.
Okay, so beating the New York Jets, you just have to have like what, 10 fans? That's what it takes. I mean, come on.
We're number 10, which is, you know, Amazon top 100 in the world. We're number 10, they're number 13. So we have given Jets another L, which is like the 20th L this season. So good job.
To improve that, we need to make sure we download the Amazon Fire Stick, Apple TV app, and Roku app.
So
I have it.
So Gabe, thank you very much for coming on the show once again. My co-host with the most, and Matt, the producer. Check out Bare Knuckles Most Wanted coming up after the show. We have another great show coming up on Wednesday with the Girl Show, and also we're going to be back on the Horn on next Sunday. So boys and girls, children of all ages, thank you very much. Thank you, Matt. Signing off. Flight Mixer. Bare Knuckles Most Wanted. Peace.
Perfect.